Hello and welcome back to Season 5 of Open with me, Emma Campbell, the podcast where connection happens through open-hearted conversations. There is such power in sharing our stories and allowing ourselves to be held and heard as we navigate life and its many chapters. So join me as I talk to a special guest each week in a way that aims to delve a little deeper. Uplifting insights, wisdom, takeaway nuggets that remind us of our own resilience, our limitless potential, and crucially, that the more we open up to each other, the more connected we feel. So this week, I'm chatting to TikTok father and daughter sensations Inez and Daddy Ray. Inez is a beautifully talented singer-songwriter on the cusp of great things. She's been sharing her music online over the last few years, has amassed a huge following on Spotify. Her songs have appeared on the Netflix hit Emily in Paris and Love Island, and her live shows are always a sellout. But when Inez shared a very funny video of her dad imitating her, things quickly went crazy. And Daddy Ray, as he's known to their legion of fans, is now a social media star in his own right. Inez's most recent single, Someone Else's Heart, is a heartbreakingly poignant song that tells the story of her dad's life-saving heart transplant operation 2 years ago. And knowing what they've been through as a family makes the content they share as touching to watch as it is entertaining. This is a lovely chat. I hope you enjoy it. Good morning.
Hello. Inez
and Daddy Ray, as you're known. How are you both? Talking from the car. So we've just logged on and you're in the car, which is brilliant.
I feel like we're always in the car, aren't we, Daddy?
Yeah, we're in the car quite a lot.
Why are you in the... Just to give us a little bit of backstory, why are you in the car? Is that
I've just been in the recording studio. I literally finished about 2 minutes ago, and then Daddy Ray was waiting in the car for me because he's a little legend.
He is a legend. I've got to say, I think I can speak for your nearly 150,000 TikTok followers and say that there's a lot of us that have fallen a little bit in love with you both. And just to give you an example, I messaged WhatsApp a good friend of mine, CJ, and I think I'd shared a story on Instagram a couple of weeks ago saying I was going to be, and she went, oh my God, oh my God. And then I messaged her the other day saying, right, I'm recording with Inez and Daddy Ray on Thursday, any burning questions? And she just said, can we just arrange a big meetup, as I'm slightly obsessed with them.
Oh, that's so cute.
But you must kind of feel that you've become, and obviously, you know, we're going to talk so much about your music and we're going to talk about, you know, all of the things that you've been through. But we've got to start with the two of you together. And I guess it's one of those unexpected, am I right in saying this?
Yes.
Unexpected, random.
I didn't know what TikTok and Instagram were.
No.
There was this trend on TikTok from ages ago where you got your parents to pretend to be you.
Yeah.
And I actually originally went to my mum and I was like, can you pretend to be me? Because I was trying to like do TikTok properly. I was filming loads of content all the time. So this is just like a random idea that I had.
She's amazing, but perhaps a little shyer than us.
Yeah, this is my mum. She was like, maybe ask Daddy Ray. So I went to my dad. I was like, can you do it? And then he just did it so ridiculously accurate that I was like, wow, okay, you really actually know me. And then I posted it and it didn't go like immediately viral. It did well for like compared to most of my videos. It was going quite viral. But then we just posted more and more because people kept asking for like part two, part three, part four. I don't even know how many parts. So many parts. And then we did go fully viral.
Yeah. I mean, it's just basically being silly. It's fun.
But being silly, but in a way, I mean, this is the beauty of this kind of unexpected turn of events, isn't it, where you're, you know, you've got your platform for your music and a singer-songwriter and that's all great, and then suddenly
yeah.
It's that, like, you know, it's just crazy. So you had like 7 million views or something on that.
I think we've had
probably 20 or something.
I don't even know, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I am very good at being silly, right? However, the way it's edited, the scripting, the way it's done, that's all Inez, and that, you know, there's a difference between
who's scripting it then? I mean, and anyone
It tends to just happen.
So, like, the ones where he was pretending to be me, he just did them on his own. But the ones where we've done, like, what has been scripted? Like,
no,
actually, it's really been scripted. It's just
no,
been
in
more
the shops.
Like,
in the shops, it's not scripted at all. But it's edited well.
Yeah, it's just edited.
Because a lot of things I do that probably
he does a lot of stuff that doesn't get made into the edit because people would probably be like, oh my god, he's literally ridiculous. So it has to be filtered.
There's no ego there. It's just that real kind of playful fun, and it just shows your father-daughter relationship, you know, so beautifully. I imagine I get the feeling that it's kind of the dynamic between you anyway.
It is. I mean, the whole family is generally like that, so it's just
we are the ridiculous ones though in the family.
Yeah, probably we're too much ridiculous. Oh yeah, yeah. My brother was very sensible.
A classic line that keeps, I mean, playing in my head is, you know, my tan has reached the tiger bread stage, and I really need the caramel and rose remover.
I mean, that is something I would say.
Yeah, it is something. You would say. The worst bit is now when she says stuff, she's worried that she sounds like me pretending.
Yeah,
to be her.
I can't even just say my own things without pretend. Like, I'm like, oh my god, I actually am my dad pretending to be me.
A caricature,
literally.
Yeah. And okay, I mean, I feel like there's going to be people listening going, yep, I get it, and others going, what? Anyway, they'll go away after this and go straight to your channels and watch and fall in love with you as well. So I mean, like we've said, the relationship that you have is clearly very genuine and very lovely, and it's I imagine when you go out in public, you're going to get to the point where you can't go to Dunelm, for example. Or
that has started to happen, it's which so is really weird.
It's really, really weird.
Like, we were in, where were we? I think we literally went to Tesco's on a Sunday. I had no makeup on. I was literally actually in the Tiger Bread stage. And I was like, right, be like subtle in here. Because he's like this when we're not filming. He's like what we are like all the time. Like, that's just what he's like all the time. So I was like, right, we're not filming. Just please be down, like low key about this. I don't want anyone to know who we are in here. And then he's like in the juice aisle singing a song about juice, and this lady comes over and she's like, oh my god, guys, I need to get a selfie. And I was like, oh my god, I just told you to be low key in there, now you're singing about juice.
I mean, but obviously you're going to end up with your own show or doing some random late night kind of, you know.
That would be good.
But Inez gets stopped. I'm not, you know, I'll just be silly, but she got five times you got stopped.
That was the most times so far.
About her music.
It was very strange, but yeah, it's cool.
So your music. So this is, you know, got to talk about your incredible music. And I've been listening. I mean, I know that when this episode airs, your new song, Someone Else's Heart, is going to be out. It comes out tomorrow as we're talking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And we're going to, if you don't mind, we're going to talk about the story and what you went through, Daddy Ray, and how, you know, and the incredible, it's incredibly moving song. But before that, just take us back with your singing and songwriting. I know that you had the amazing experience of one of your songs being on Emily in Paris, and that really kind of was crazy. So have you all, tell us about your musical talents and passion when it all began.
So I've always been singing. I don't remember singing when I was little, but I'm always told that I used to put on shows when I was like 3 or 4. But when I really remember it is I got tickets to an intimate concert at a Demi Lovato. It was a Demi Lovato concert, but it was in an Apple store in London. So it was like tiny, tiny concert. This was my first concert I'd ever been to. And it was on my 7th or 8th birthday. And she sang me Happy Birthday. And then gave me her set list. And obviously, as a 21-year-old, I'd still be fangirling about that. But as a 7-year-old whose first concert this was, I was like, oh my God. And then from that moment on, I was like, that's what I want to do. So I was like writing songs in the school playground. They were awful, but it was part of the journey. And then I set up this band with one of my like junior school best friends. And we used to write these covers and like remix these different covers. And any birthday or Christmas, I would beg to go to the studio to just record these covers. And that's where it all started, I guess. And then when I was like in sixth form, I started writing, like properly writing my own songs and getting them produced. And I just fell in love with it, basically. And I went to university, but it just wasn't really for me. I finished it, got the degree, but all along I knew this is what I wanted to be doing. And I needed to make it happen. So. Yeah.
It seems like, you know, you are on the cusp of some really great things and quite rightly. So that's, you know, my wonderful niece is in a similar position, you know, very talented singer-songwriter, kind of, you know, doing amazing things, selling out her shows. And it is amazing to watch as a family, as a family member, you know, you must be so, so proud. So let's talk about the single that's out as we're speaking, is out at midnight tonight. And Daddy Ray, if you don't mind. So, well, whoever wants to sort of tell the story of what you went through and how you're doing and how it's impacted you and the beautiful message in this song.
So I wrote the song from my perspective about my dad's journey, because I don't know, there's not really that many songs about having an ill parent. And I went to the studio and I actually wasn't planning to write about it. But I went on this like writing trip to Hull. And on the train there, I was with my producer and we were just like catching up about life. And at that point, my dad was still in the hospital. And so it was all like still very much real and happening. And we got into the studio and my producer was like, we should write about this. And I was kind of scared because it was still happening. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be like. And I didn't want to like write a song about him coming home if he was never going to come home. So I just wrote about literally what was happening and what had happened to date, about like the phone ringing and him getting the call that the donor was ready. And
so for those that don't know, so you knew that you were on the list for a heart transplant.
I was on the so I've always had heart issues, and you know, it's just been a general thing, and I'd go to the hospital, and then one time I went and they said, basically, you're not going to live until 60. And I'm reasonably old already, so it wasn't very long really. And they said, you need a transplant, and we're going to put you on the long list, and you may have to wait and you may never get it. And it's, you know, I'm fairly okay about most things, but it's slightly concerning. And they give you a phone and they say, okay, you've just got to be ready to go. And I was just in the house and the phone rang and they said, right, come in. We've got a heart for you. I just shoved a toothbrush and my phone in a bag and went there. And then sort of 12 hours later, I had a new heart.
So I saw the video where you talked about the phone. So again, for most of us haven't experienced that. Most of us experienced certain things, but you're given a phone, and that phone is the only time that phone will ring is when.
Yeah, because I get loads of work calls and stuff, and quite often, you know, if you're doing something, you ignore a work call. But obviously, you have.
What's done? Everyone on a list, are they given?
Did we get the phone, or did I buy?
They gave.
Yeah, it was just like a normal old Nokia, sort of, and you just have it all the time.
Yeah,
and that's all it's for. So no one's going to phone you selling PPE or anything, double glazing. It's just for that.
So the power of that object in your hand, or I think it was sitting on the stairs, did you say?
Yeah, it was charging at the bottom of the stairs in the hallway.
I didn't think it would ring. I mean, you know, this was only a month or so after, and I was on the long list. I wasn't on the short list. So I was unbelievably lucky to get this. It's just someone your age, your size, your blood type, and it's like a lottery. And it's like winning the lottery. But you sort of phone up and you're told you won the lottery, but then you've got to go for a big operation. So it's strange emotionally.
Really? I mean, and what's the average wait time is for?
It can be years. People can die without a transplant. And this is why it's important for people to talk to their family about being a donor and to sign up and become a donor.
Yeah.
And especially
for NHS England.
Which is great. But I mean, you know, you have to be, it's weird because you have to be the right size and the right sort of physical size and the right blood type. So it's difficult to get all those things matched. And I was lucky. So the more people there are in the donor pool, the more likely it is that people can get a match.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are waiting, and there are people in hospital when I was in there who've been waiting for years in hospital.
Because we were told that it was going to be like quite a few years.
Iller and iller.
And then, so when it happened so quickly, we were like, oh my God.
And as a family, not knowing, of course, the call came through, thankfully, a lot longer than you thought it would. But, you know, the impact of the unknown and the uncertainty and knowing what was sort of happening within your body and not functioning brilliantly, and the inevitability of what might happen if the call hadn't come. I mean, as a family, the whole experience, it's for you as the person going through it.
I didn't really talk about it too much or tell them too many details.
How did it impact you in as like a silly question in a way, but how did you manage to compartmentalize it and not be consumed with that?
I feel like I was 19 at the time, so I was really young to have like my dad just suddenly not be there. And I think it was obviously unbelievably scary and it's going to be with me my whole life. But like, it's when something like that happens, you kind of just go into autopilot and like, you just have to get through it. So like, there's no choice really. Like, I think it made me mature a lot quicker than like my friends around me, because they obviously weren't going through something like that. But I mean, it's a lot to go through. But also at the same time, it needed to happen for my dad to still be here. So I'm very grateful that it happened. But obviously it was really scary at the time.
Yeah. But these experiences that we go through, you know, they do, as dark as they are and as terrifying as they are at times, they also do kind of shape us, don't they? And set our lives on a bit of a different path, you know.
I think it was more of like a shock, to be honest, because obviously you can't prepare for something like that. You don't know when it's going to happen. And that's the thing I struggled with the most, because you can't, it's not like a normal operation where you're like, okay, it's happening on that day, this is what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you don't know when it's going to happen. It could just be a normal day, which it was. I'd literally been to a gig the night before I was performing. My dad took me to it. He came and watched. And then the next morning, literally not even 12 hours later, he was in the hospital having a heart transplant. And I was like, that is how quickly life can just like change.
Yeah.
So that part was hard.
Yeah. And I mean, and so that the song is absolutely beautiful. It really, really is. It's very, very moving. I just know it's going to touch so many people. So the process of writing, obviously that word, you know, cathartic or whatever, but you've kind of managed to, in a way, you've got something that is always going to, it's a kind of tangible, I know a song isn't tangible, but it's something that's going to be there forever.
Yeah.
It really expresses that moment in time.
Yeah. To me, it kind of feels a bit like a time capsule, because I wrote it so, it was like, it's just so real and raw. It's literally exactly what was happening at that time in my life. And it's not really something I want to relive, but also it's something that like, it's a big part of what we are now. So it's really nice to have it into a song. And if it can spread awareness about like being a donor, signing up to be a donor, or if it can make someone who's going through a time where their parents aren't well or someone in their family's not well feel like some sort of comfort, then that'd be great, because I obviously didn't have anything like that at the time when I was writing.
You never know with other people's families. So many people are touched by illness or tragedy or a whole load of different things. It may resonate with them as well and help.
Yeah. And I live with breast cancer, secondary breast cancer. So my kids have, known, you know, for 14 years since my initial diagnosis. So my eldest son, who's 20, but it's interesting. It's so great that as an artist, as a creative, you're able to, because not everyone can, you know, there are so many of us and so many young people who kind of are bottling stuff up and just holding on it and dealing with that isolation and feeling like they're the only ones with a parent. And actually that's why, again, it's your honesty and your lived raw experience and sharing so vulnerably is really, really important.
Yeah.
I think that's why,
How are you doing now? You okay?
I'm good. I mean, I'm on treatment for life, but I'm very lucky. I'm doing well. But it's the reason I try not to bring it into every episode, to think, oh, Emma, be quiet. But it's relevant, I guess, in this conversation that none of us really know. And
no one knows.
As a mum, as a father, we're all terrified of our own. You know, most of us have quite a natural fear of death, unless we can just float above it.
I wasn't too bothered about the dying. I didn't really have that much of it, but I felt guilty if I died, that I would leave everyone else, and they were doing so well, so amazingly. And then I thought, you know, it's my responsibility to not do the dying. So
leaving your children and so, you know, but again, what's lovely is also for people watching and maybe viewing you who are going through something similar to see that time does pass and healing can happen and lightness can come back in and joy. And you know how
you talk to a lot of people actually
because of
Inez's reach on social media. A lot of people do reach out to us.
Loads of, we've had so many DMs from people who have had transplants or are waiting for transplants that just want like some sort of comfort or to see that things can be okay afterwards. And obviously my dad's a good example of that. So yeah, no, we have actually had a lot of conversations with people waiting for transplants.
Yeah. So what's ahead? Obviously the song is going to be a global smash. And tonight, I know, again, it's a shame this isn't live, because I know that tonight I saw on your TikTok this morning that you're heading, tomorrow you're going to head into central London with shaped balloons, am I right?
Yeah. So the song literally comes out at midnight tonight, which feels very strange because I haven't released anything for like almost 2 years. So this is the comeback song. But yeah, we're going into London tomorrow with giant heart-shaped balloons and heart-shaped lollies to promote the song and promote organ donation. And then
it's heart month.
It is heart month at the moment, yeah. So after that, I've got plans for my headline show, which is sold out in Camden Assembly, which is really exciting. And then I've got loads and loads of other music that's not about heart transplants coming out, which I'm really excited for because a lot of those songs have done really well on TikTok. So I feel like people know me for my unreleased music more than my released music at this point because I've shared so much of it. So I'm really excited to get it out in the world.
So have you got other dates coming up in the coming months where people can? So Camden's, is it two nights you're doing it, Camden?
No, just the one night, February 26th. Okay. But I am planning some further dates. Not February 26th. I mean, April 26th. yeah, I'm planning more dates to do more shows in London and also some shows up north at the end of this year, which will be really exciting because I've only ever done support act tours up north. But yeah, I mean, I haven't got any specific dates I'm allowed to give you right now, but there will be dates.
There will be dates.
There will be.
Daddy Ray, it does feel strange calling you Daddy Ray, but I know that that's how you're known and loved. But tell me, so you're health-wise, you're in a good place.
I feel fantastic. I've never felt this fit in my life. I'm really, really lucky. I mean, they saved me so many times, so it's great. And I have a really supportive family, and it's good. I'm very happy, and I appreciate every single day and everything.
I get that, and that's. Do you know what? If we can live through that lens of appreciation, then I think we're winning. Whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone should just be a bit more Daddy Ray in their life, to be honest. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I wanted to look at your. I was hoping that maybe you'd have lots of rings on your fingers.
No, strangely, I'm not. I am fairly silly, but I don't dress like that. The worst thing is having to wear those clothes, but they're so tight and so horrible. The outtakes are better, are funnier actually. But
we got the outtakes. He literally gets trapped, and he hates jewelry so much. Like he refuses to even wear a watch. So putting all the rings on, he gets really stressed.
I am a bit obsessed. Well, listen, you're in your car, so I will let you go. Where are you sitting outside the house? No, you've
said we're sat outside the studio right now.
Go and record somewhere else.
Yeah.
What are you going to do now? Just give us a little insight into your, because you must spend a lot of time together, or maybe not.
We do. We hang out.
We spend a lot of time in the car. Yes.
We literally hang out all the time. I did my recording this morning, and then I'm going to a rehearsal now for the Camden show, and then tonight I'm going for dinner to celebrate the release of the song.
Right, the release.
Which is really exciting. And then I'm going live tonight.
So yeah, no, tonight she's with Mommy Ray going out for dinner.
Mommy Ray.
Mommy Ray is a bit of
a try and get her to do a lot more on social media.
She's a silent legend.
We'll give her my love and our love, and I think
we will. Without Mommy Ray, we would not be.
We didn't.
She basically held it together.
She did. Yeah.
I think, and that's really important. It is the partners and the loved ones, isn't it? I think there's a reality show beckoning alongside your music career, which I know is going to be fantastic. So
that would be the dream, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
Oh.
God, I don't believe that.
Would. I feel like we need a car camcorder just to record our conversations in the car.
Yeah, do it. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. And
I'm so glad
while you're in a car, it just makes me smile even more. And so lovely to talk to you. And this, and I can't wait for everyone, more and more people to hear your music and more and more people to just fall in love with you both.
Thank you.
So nice to speak to you.
Take care.
You too. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Open, hosted by me, Emma Campbell, and produced by Pretty Fire Audio Productions. It would mean so much if you would take a moment to like, review, and subscribe to the show. I'm loving having these conversations, and I really hope you're enjoying them too. So please join me for the next episode. And in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at LimitlessM. Say hello. And if you'd like to join one of my regular online expressive writing workshops, where we use gentle prompts and timed exercises to let the words flow beautifully onto the page, then check out the schedule link in my Instagram bio or email me at emma@limitlessm.com for more info. See you soon.